Peter's life was in turmoil. He has denied even knowing Jesus. And that after promising so much, everyone else may leave you, Jesus, but not me. No way. I'm going to stay with you right through, no matter what. And we know how that ended. And you can imagine Peter putting his head on the pillow at night and hearing the cock crow every time. You can imagine Peter racked with guilt. His life is in turmoil. And then on that Easter Sunday morning, Peter is one of the ones who goes to the tomb to see what's happened. He goes to the tomb and he finds it's empty. And the Bible simply says that Peter saw and believed. He saw the grave clothes, he saw the stone rolled away, he saw the empty tomb, and he believed. He still hadn't fully understood what the scriptures taught about the resurrection, but he had seen the empty tomb, and he believed. And then Jesus, the risen Christ, appears to his disciples. They're locked away in a room, hidden away. They're terrified in case the authorities would come after them as well. After all, they're his disciples. They're at risk. And Jesus appears in their midst to them and speaks his peace to them. John then, in his gospel, fast forwards us to a fishing trip. Peter's back doing what he used to do, perhaps what he's familiar with, comfortable with, is back fishing. And he and the disciples have spent all night out on the lake fishing and caught nothing. And so they head back into shore, probably tired, probably disappointed, frustrated. We recognize a lot of those things. And as they head back into the shore, they see someone standing there. It's Jesus. Have you caught anything? No. It's been a waste of time tonight. And Jesus sends them back out onto the lake and tells them to throw the net over onto the right side of the boat. And they do that and they make the most amazing catch. The nets are bulging. And they turn and they come back. And when they get back on the shore, breakfast is ready. There's a fire lit. There's bread prepared. Jesus tells them to bring some of the fish that they've caught, and they have breakfast together, Jesus and his disciples. This is no ghostly apparition. This is the real Jesus who eats breakfast with his disciples. Can you imagine all that's going on in Peter's head as he sits there on the beach and eats his meal of fish and bread? He's there with the disciples who knew what he had said, who knew what he had done, but they too had disappeared when Jesus had been arrested. I'm sure there were awkward, difficult silences. They finish their breakfast. And Jesus turns to look Peter in the eye and asks him a question which cuts right to the heart. Peter, do you truly love me more than these? There's no beating around the bush. There's no small talk. Peter, do you love me more than the rest of these people do? Do you truly love me that much? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And again, Jesus asks the same question. Lord, you know that I love you. And then a third time. And Peter is hurt that he's asked a third time. And so he simply says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then Peter hears those words that he needs to hear. as Jesus again looks him in the eye and once again calls him to come and follow me. I wonder what Peter had been expecting at that meeting. What did he think would happen as they ate together? Well, maybe it would be made clear to him that he had, well, Peter, you've had your chance. You blew it. No going back now. And yet that's not what happens. Jesus graciously brings Peter back, restores him, reinstates him. It's like the returning of the prodigal son who goes back to his father, not knowing how his father will react, wondering what will happen. The father throws his arms around him, runs to meet him, embraces him. Peter is lovingly welcomed home to Jesus. And after that, well, as they say, life was never the same for Peter. The headstrong fisherman who had a tendency to speak before he thought became one of the pillars of the early church. The Peter who denied even knowing Jesus now becomes the Peter who boldly declares who Jesus is. He's the Messiah, he's the Christ, he's God's promised one, crucified, buried, and risen. And Peter will now follow Jesus, no matter what. Peter will follow Jesus through thick and thin, even to death. What a transformation. It's not just somebody who has decided to turn over a new leaf, someone who's decided to try harder in life. This is someone who has been totally transformed because he has met with the risen Christ and been graciously accepted by him. Transformed by meeting with the risen Christ. In later life, this same Peter was to write to the early church, which was suffering terribly, being persecuted, scattered. They struggled with being separate and apart. They struggled with what was going on around them. And Peter writes to them, if you have your Bible there, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says to this early church, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This was the Peter who knew God's mercy. Peter knew what it was to be given new life. He knew what it was to have hope restored. He knew what it was to go from that place of despair and guilt to that place of hope and life and a future. For Peter, the resurrection was not just a subject for erudite argument and discussion. The resurrection was the reality. And because of the resurrection, Peter had both life and hope. Peter had an inheritance waiting for him that wouldn't rust or rot or lose its value depending on the vagaries of the stock market. Peter was secure in Jesus. There are many people around us who constantly question the relevance of the Christian gospel. The Christian gospel is continually under fire, it seems. However, at a time when the world is gripped by both fear and death, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of hope and life is supremely relevant. This letter of Peter makes frequent mention of suffering, but Peter declares that in the midst of that suffering, In Jesus we have both hope and life. And this Jesus has not changed. The same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. And as we go through the greatest upheaval in living memory, there is hope. There is life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter doesn't try to play down all that the early church was facing. The pain, the suffering is real. But because of Jesus, that pain and suffering isn't the last word. There is hope. We should never play down or trivialize the devastation that's going on around us. But in the midst of that, we should most definitely declare boldly that hope and life are still to be found in Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection. Goodness, was it only last Sunday? But thankfully, the resurrection isn't true for one day only. It's not something that happened way back then, which has no impact on our lives here and now. It is a truth for today. It is a truth for each day. It is a truth for each moment. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are born again not only to a hope, but also to an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. And Peter says, as we wait, we are shielded by God's power. Now, there's a word we've heard a lot about recently. Shielding. Vulnerable people got letters to tell them they are being shielded, protected, kept safe. Not a new idea. God had it first. As you live in hope, you are shielded by God's power. Hope, life, shielded by God's power. That's just what vulnerable, anxious people need. Hope, life, knowing that they're shielded, protected, cared for by God. At the end of the passage which Bill read for us, against that beautiful backdrop of the North Coast, listening to the bird song, Bill read for us these words: Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. What John is saying is that the gospel is selected highlights, because we couldn't record absolutely everything that Jesus said and did. So John chooses these things. But why does he write down what he does write down? Why does he select those events, those accounts to include in his gospel? Well, if you go back to John chapter 20, you discover why John did these things. There we read, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." That's John's reason for writing his gospel, so that you may have life in Jesus' name. The way to life, the way to hope, is through believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter believed. He had life, hope, was kept by God. Was life easy for Peter? Did he manage to avoid all of the suffering that was going on around him? Well, no way. Take some time this afternoon, read through the Acts of the Apostles, and you will see that was far from the case. Peter suffered. Peter went through hard times. But in everything he went through, he never lost hope. because his hope was in Jesus Christ, the risen and living Savior, because he was shielded, kept by the very power of God. As I said earlier, it is wonderful, the prayers of our congregation. And we rightly pray for many things. We pray for those who are suffering the worst effects of this COVID-19. We pray for those who are working ceaselessly and courageously to care for those who are suffering from the virus. We pray for those who are searching for a vaccine. We pray for an end to this pandemic, and so we should pray for all these things. But we need to be careful too. Ultimately, our hope is not in getting back to the way things used to be. Ultimately, our hope is not in a vaccine, no matter how effective it might be. These things are temporary, passing. Eternal, unchanging hope is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. This world is broken. If you doubted that, well, we just need to look around us. Listen to the news for a few minutes. This world is broken, and we are part of its brokenness. And if you are without Christ, you are without that hope. So confess your sin, your brokenness. Believe that when Jesus died and rose again, he dealt with your sin. And then, like Peter, may you hear the gracious invitation of Jesus to follow him with hope and life. And to God be the glory. Amen.